And 11:24, let's hear some music from Mick Rad here on Turmoil. Of the band Mick Rad. They're out of Philadelphia. They have a new album out on Beware Records called Absence of Sanity. How are you doing tonight, Chuck?
All right. Everything's cool.
The new album's on Beware Records, which is associated with Deluxe, which is a sort of a skateboard label. They put out skateboards, and they put out some videos and records, things like that. Is that the main reason why Mick Rad signed with Beware?
Yeah, well, what it all started from is after Mick Rad, you know, the original band broke up, I had done some work with, you know, I guess his name is Brian Ware. He does all the skate rock albums for Thrasher. And so what he did is, I guess he picked some of his favorite bands, you know, like the Drunk Engines, Skate Master Tate, and, you know, Odd Man Out, and he just decided to just create his own label, you know, and just, quote unquote, make the skate rock thing a lot more professional. You know, and just like highlight, you know, just four bands, and so we were one of the first projects, so that's how it came about. You know, it's something easy for, you know, for the band to do at that time, so that's why we jumped on it.
Talking to the label, they say your music's also used in some skate videos, films. When you write the music, do you write the music from the skating experience, or do you write the music to skate too?
Well, right now for me, I guess it's basically, I guess it goes hand in hand. It's like stuff that happens to me with skating and also stuff that happens to me with just different people. I mean, it all goes together because, like, I'm constantly doing everything at once. And I guess right now I'm the only member that skates in the band, but as far as just a whole aggressive, you know, we think on an aggressive level as far as just attacking, you know, and music. And so I guess that's why it just comes out as kind of a skate rock feel, because skating, you know, is aggressive, you know. So that's where all that comes in. It's not really like an attitude or, you know, certain things that we skate to. It's just, you know, a feeling.
Is that aggressive nature one of the reasons why then, you know, most skaters picked up on punk music?
Yeah, definitely, because it was something that just kind of went with the whole feeling of it, you know. Because, I mean, it's just kind of weird skating to, like, country music or whatever, or I mean, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people were into skating, you know, to like rock and stuff, and then they were into skating to Devo. But, you know, once the, you know, Black Flag and all that stuff came out, it just gave it that much more of an edge, you know. It kind of defined like a different, you know, part of skating, you know, which made it a little bit cooler, you know. Just separated just from like the, you know, the surf 70 days and stuff like that.
Your band also, though, mixes reggae in with the punk music.
Yeah.
How do you relate, you know, the reggae and the punk styles?
How do we relate it?
Yeah, what's the what relationship do you see between the two that, you know, fits in with the band?
Yeah, I really see between the two is just, I guess, you know, both forms of music, you know, started underground, and they both have a lot of roots and a lot of feeling. So I personally felt that, you know, they can definitely go together. You know, it's just more like reggae rock should definitely happen, like rock reggae. It's just they're both strong music, and I mean, if you can definitely together them, put them together, it's not like try to force them together. It's just it happened for us. You know, we just thought it would be cool, and then that's how it, you know, it was. Because first started it, you know, I wasn't really into reggae, and I basically just kind of learned a lot as we were playing it in the beginning stages of McGrad. So
it's strange though that, you know, you're one of the earliest bands to sort of mix reggae, and now it seems like every punk band is mixing it in.
Yeah, it's kind of trippy, you know, because I mean we're still getting a lot of, you know, things like, you know, we sound like the Bad Brains and stuff like that, and I don't really mind, but I mean there was a lot of other bands that mixed kind of like a punky rock and reggae, like the Clash did it and the Ruts and a bunch of other people, and that's where most of our influences, you know, came from. So I just think, I guess, most people are, you know, either catching those different groups just doing it, I guess, just to do it, you know, because, I mean, it is a lot of fun to do it, and I guess that's why people are doing it.
Hey! saw me till you say. What you say? But I saw me till you say. Where you from? Me smoke Cali. But I want more till you say me smoke Cali. But I let my team, I say me don't take no sleep. Yeah, you know, me smoke Cali.
Hey, right.
But the name Papa seeing on your area.
Right.
Me name Papa seeing on your area. The girls are with the 40 boom boom. Hey, tell all the guys to see me make a boom boom. Send me nice up tea party. But I don't move on till they send me nice up tea party. Tell all the guys to see me go out to a session.
Right.
Now with me skateboard in me and me, I go do a nice stand up. Me skateboard in me and me, I go do a nice step. Me see me nice up show area. Tell all the logo me see me nice up tea party. But I miss a special dedication to the other pretty girls in the world, you know, so I'm chilling about it, dreadlocks, Babylon,
right.
Special dedication to man called Papa T in a Holland style,
Georgia,
drums, serious style,
right.
I have a tape of your live performance, which you sent me, and the live show has more of a reggae feel than the album. There's really only one song in the album, Words of Life, which has the reggae feeling. Was this an intentional move just to introduce the band to a larger audience, to sort of leave the reggae in the back for now?
I guess, well, how that all started out is when we first were recording the album, B-Ware Records just wanted to put out, you know, a skate rock type of feel with just, like, aggressive music, and Brian did not think that reggae would be, you know, cool enough to skaters, and so we just kind of conned him into doing it because it was a song that we really liked, and we had a lot of other material that we wanted to do that was reggae, but he just couldn't sell it to Thrasher magazine. They didn't know how just to put it in the right words. So once we started to do shows live and, like, the band got more involved in music, we just wanted to kind of just, like, go away from the album some and just, like, do kind of what we wanted to do and still come back and play, you know, aggressive music instead of just, I don't know, it's just kind of weird. It's just something that just kind of happened for the spur of the moment, you know. We had to do something, you know, for the album, and that's how it came out. You know, we've always wanted to play, you know, a lot of reggae, or just fuse it a lot more than songs. We just didn't have the ideals together for them, you know. That's why it came out like that, just one reggae song on the album, and the rest just kind of, okay.
So you think the second album then will have more reggae?
Well, it'll just have more style to it, because more of the newer stuff is, it's louder, but it just has more of a bassier, you know, like, feeling and stuff like that. It still rocks. I mean, it's like the guitar doesn't get any cleaner. It doesn't do, like, any, you know, like, super changeover or anything like that. I still play as distorted as ever. It's just that the bass and drums are, you know, just accent the music a lot different. And that's just the whole essence to me of what reggae, you know, is. It's just a lot of bass and drums, and the guitar is just there to just highlight whatever it can highlight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not changing the style of, you know, vocals or anything. Everything is just straight ahead. You know, it's still hard.
another unusual aspect of the album is that you have two instrumentals, Jocelyn and TG.
Yeah.
Sort of reminds me of the other skate band called Agent Orange.
Yeah.
And the different styles you have on the album is amazing. I pick up some like jazz in there and a little bit of funk and, you know, definitely some reggae, things like that. What kind of influences do you have personally?
My influences, I guess, started, you know, from my father, you know, when I was about, I guess, like six or so. That's when I, you know, started into music, playing drums, and that was just listening to a lot of just like, you know, R&B and Hendrix and Janis Joplin, just the whole spectrum of what music was, and then, or, you know, was about back then. And as I, you know, got older, I learned how to play bass and guitar, and I got into, you know, the punk thing and, you know, everything like that, and just I noticed jazz a lot more, and just like kind of was trying to understand what people were doing, you know, in other places and seeing what they wanted to do and bring it to, like, kind of to my world. That's what it kind of comes out as. You know? I listen to everything and I just try to bring it down because I can't be just, you know, a jazz musician or just this musician. You know, I kind of want to bunch it all up and just throw it out. That's basically what and, you know, that's how it's influenced.
Is the band still the same lineup that's on the album?
No. It's like the original, the lead singer and the drummer are no longer with us. We have a new drummer and a new bass player, and we're just a three-piece right now.
And you're taking care of the singing chores then?
Bass player and I are singing.
Right. So why don't you just let us know who's in the band now?
Okay, the bass player is Rob Joseph, and the drummer is Andy Morris.
And you're the only skater in the bunch. In fact, you're a pro skater.
Yeah.
You started out as a pro skater first, then went into the music, or was the music first, and then you decided to go into skating?
Music was definitely first, because, like, music has always been, you know, with me. And what happened is, I guess, around 13 years of age, it's like, I just wanted to get away from music, because I was just playing in cover bands and stuff like that, and just, it wasn't cool, you know, just, like, music then was just stupid. I mean, the money was there, but just the feeling was there. So I just got into skating, and I just kept going with it, and I just dropped music totally. And I moved from Delaware to Philadelphia, and just for some reason the whole kind of skate rock thing started to evolve, and then that's when, you know, McGrad kind of happened, but just, the skating just kept going, and I wanted to be pro just to set myself aside from a lot of things that were happening on the East Coast, because there weren't any pro skaters, and there weren't that many people traveling and doing anything different, so I just wanted to do it just to set myself in, like, another, you know, frame of mind for that. I mean, it just... I mean, I made some money, you know, skating pro, but I don't get to travel that much.
Now, you're sort of being a pioneer in skating. You're one of the few black skaters I know of.
Yeah.
How have you been accepted with that, and any struggles you have gone through with it?
It's been kind of weird. I mean, it's been kind of fun, but a lot of times, I mean, it's just, you can tell that things are being forced, and, you know, people want to be nice, but then again, it's just, you know, I mean, people have things set. You know, and it's just like, if you don't have an image, or you can't create an image for yourself, you know, you just can't, like, bust in on it, you know, and just, I guess that's the one thing that I had to learn for myself, and that's what McGrad helped me out with. It's just, I, you know, we kind of created this, you know, kind of skate rock thing, but it was kind of been like a city type of way, you know, because most of, like, Agent Orange and JFA was still the California type deal, and we were one of, like, the first skate rock bands, so that's how... You know, McGrad kind of overshadowed the kind of black thing because I didn't come out being as, like, a black skater trying to get across as a black skater. I wanted to come out as a musician that skated and had some, like, soulful, you know, influences and wanted to let people know what was up, you know, if I could.
Did you have any problems, though, on the skating circuit?
I don't know. I did a demonstration one time in Kentucky, to Duke or somewhere, and it was just kind of weird because, I mean, there was a bunch of... I don't know, not to say they were hillbillies, it was just like people that were just like out in the sticks, and I mean it was cool, but you know, the way the guy ran it, it was just, you know, it was really weird. I mean, it just seems like if it wasn't for skating, the guy wouldn't have anything to do with me. So that's basically the only thing. It's just, I guess, respect as, like, you know, for a person, and because a lot of times a skateboard can just, like, overcome some obstacles, you know. It's like if they see your face in the magazine and you do the tricks, they'll think, oh, he's cool because he's doing it, you know, but they won't, like, respect a black person as a black person. And that's the only thing that kind of bugs me about, you know.
Right.
But then again, I don't really think about it that much because I haven't really been that abused. I mean, stuff has been thrown around verbally, but it's nothing to really, you know, dwell into.
BSB, a crack freak. We like to have a lot of fun. We don't care.
Tell me a little bit behind the story of using the Mick moniker, the MC before Rad, and like in one of your songs it's called Mick Shred. Is that just to take off like the McDonald mentality of some people?
No, okay, well, how that all started was, I guess when we were first starting a band, the original bass player Zeke Vagar and myself and the guy Ethan Jarvis, we were all just at a party and we were hanging out with Husker Du, and we were hanging out with the bass player. And we just kept, like, telling him, like, yeah, we're trying to get this band together, and we need a name. And all of a sudden he goes, McTair, and then he goes, McRad. And then we just went with it, you know. And we kind of started off, like, wearing McDonald's hats and stuff. We got a picture a long time ago, a match from Rock and Roll, that we had McDonald's hats on. But it has nothing really to do with that. And the whole McShred concept came from just... I mean, it was me and a bunch, like three other skaters that were just around Philly that were just kind of the first skaters that were hanging out. And we just wanted to start our own little quote-unquote gang. And that's what the song was about, just us being kind of a club, you know, because I heard the original, or just the definition of McRad is some kind of an Irish, you know, it's like an Irish boys club or something like that. So we just kind of created something like that in our own way, you know. That's it, you know, it's just kind of weird.
Walk into the house and on the floor. The book. Get my
Another song on the album is called Dead by Dawn, which sort of brings in like the death metal aspect. Are you guys really into that at all, or is this
The lead singer, Ethan, you know, he's been a band. We all definitely listen to Slayer and, you know, all the speed metal stuff, but he was, I guess, into it more, you know, for the lyrics, and he was just there, you know, just to write lyrics for songs like that. So I guess that's what came out of him, because I guess that's his main influence, you know what I mean? It's not that he was really, really into it because he didn't have the look or anything. It's just that he appreciated his music for what it, you know, made him do. You know, I mean, he got off on it, you know, it hyped him out because he went to all the shows. And that's, you know, so I guess when he wanted to be on an album, he wanted to just, like, let people know what he can do, you know, with that stuff. And he didn't try to go out of his boundaries by writing pop songs, so he wrote what was in his mind. So I guess that's all that is. Kind of trippy, because I would never write lyrics like that.
Yeah.
But he's into it, so it's cool, you know, for himself.
A few other songs on the album sort of relay sort of the down aspects of living. And, you know, my interpretation of sort of like skating, you know, and in fact, one of your songs says, we like to live on adrenaline OD. Do you get a high from skating, and do you plan on writing songs that sort of reflect that high?
Well, I guess basically as far as I do, there's a definite high, you know, on skating, I guess a definite high, just like the way I'm living my life right now, because I'm trying to attack a lot of stuff and do a lot of different things, because things aren't set, and you know, we're not making a lot of money. We don't want to make a lot of money. It's just that we want to keep everything fresh and exciting. You know, it's, you know, the music that we're doing right now is not like day by day music. It's not like sets. When we have a set, and we play everything the same time. So it's just like we want to relate that to each song and each time I skate or each time I just, you know, walk down the street. You know, it's like it's got to be different. You know, it's got to be something that's like really cool, because I don't like to think. To get in like a really set pace, because, you know, then it gets really stupid, you know. And just most of the lyrics, I guess, I mean, some of the lyrics, they're there for the, you know, to let the people know about it, but I guess I think that's what the instrumentals to me represent, that feeling, because they're, you hear the music, and I really get psyched for music instead of getting psyched from lyrics. You know, I put more effort into making the music exciting. Kind of, you know, lyrics are there, but a lot of times I get kind of like, you know, they just push me aside, you know, I get lost in some lyrics, so that's why I kind of write just kind of basic stuff. You know, Ethan writes all the fast, like, you know, aggressive stuff, because he doesn't play an instrument, so I concentrate on like making, you know, the attack through the music first, you know, and if something comes out of my head that's, you know, fast and cool, then it does, but if it doesn't, I, you know, that's the whole thing.
What does the band have for the future? Are you working on another album?
All right, well, basically what we're doing is we're going to be working on a tape. It's going to be like a 5 or 6 song tape that we're going to, you know, be, I guess, passing around as a demo we made. Just, you know, yeah, it's going to have like a set price on it for sale, but it's going to be definitely cheap. And we're going to put it out on our own label, like kind of, and it's going to be just called Mars Productions. And that'll be it, because the label that we're with now, it's things are kind of moving slow, and we want to move faster and kind of create our own look or whatever, just our own sound, because right now it's like we're kind of not fed up with skate rock, but we're not skate rock anymore. I mean, we're all musicians, and that's what we want to go for. So, and all that should start coming about within September, and then we want to go to Holland, you know, over Christmas, because we've been playing, you know, every weekend this summer, and we're just going to kind of chill out for a while from September to November, and then just kind of bring things back up from December on.
Has the band played Europe before?
Europe? No, we haven't. You know, we've only been to California, so it's just like a first time to go over there. So, you know, I'm really kind of happy to get over there because things are just a lot different, and it would be a good chance for just us to take a vacation. So if we can pull it off, I'd be definitely happy.
Why don't you give the address for the band so people can write to you to find out more about the tape?
It's 5616 Cedar Avenue, C-E-D-A-R, and it's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19143.
And they can write to McRad at that address. Okay, Chuck, thanks a lot for taking the time out to talk to me tonight.
Okay, Steve.
And good luck with the new tape.
Thank you.
That was McRad on WUSB Stony Brook, ending up with In My Forever from their latest album, Absence of Sanity. Started off, starting with the music, we heard Brain, Words of Life, TG, McShred, Dead by Dawn, Jocelyn, and In My Forever. And those are all from the new McRad album, Absence of Sanity, on Beware Records. You can contact Beware Records at P.O. Box 883311, San Francisco, California 94188, or ask for it at your local record store. That's going to wrap it up for me, Steve Kreitzer. Thanks to Chuck for taking the time out to talk with us, and also to Terry at Beware Records for the help. Coming up next, Rob, he'll take you into the early morning hours. I'll be back again next Wednesday night at 10:30 with another edition of Turmoil. Next week we'll be featuring cassettes. So get your tape deck ready for that. Have yourselves a safe and a nice a week.
This is Jim Ross, host of the Bluegrass Show here at WUSB, inviting you to step out on the back porch with me each Wednesday night at 6:30. We'll listen to some of the best bluegrass music anywhere. Hey, sit down. Along with some old-time fiddle bands, some western swing, bluegrass. Get out of here. Hey, sit down. Bluegrass news, so join me and my pals every Wednesday night at... Every Wednesday at 6:30 in the p.m. for Back Porch Bluegrass on 90.1 FM Stony Brook.